Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Easter, Class 1, April
17th, 2022. If you come in late, you get to lead the first song. You know, something like Up Against the Wall, Redneck Mother, or something like that. Or Arise, My Love. Rick Panko, who was a deacon here for a long, long time, and deacon emeritus after he went up to Spokane to be with his daughter and son-in-law. And he's still deacon emeritus, and he's in heaven. But Rick Panko would always come in on Resurrection Sunday. He'd always come in and say, "Happy Victory Day, sir." I said, "Yes, sir, Rick, it is Happy Victory Day." And I always appreciated, well, I loved Rick Panko. He was one of the best of the best. I've had phenomenal deacons. And that's all God's grace in providing for that. They do a fantastic job freeing me up so I can do my job, which is to feed you, feed the Lord's sheep. If you'll open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1 on this Victory Day, Resurrection Sunday. Romans 1 sets the standard. We'll be in a lot of passages this morning, but we'll start with Romans 1. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this morning is a demonstration of who and what you are. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. There is a living and true God, and you know that. But unfortunately, much of the world has rejected that. They're without excuse, because God has revealed himself to the whole world in two amazing miracles. Two of the greatest miracles that the world will ever know took place on two very special days in the plan of God, Christmas and Easter. Christmas is the greatest miracle that the world will ever know. There is no miracle as great as the miracle of that very first Christmas. Why? Because the eternal Son of God left heaven, left glory. He humbled himself and took on true humanity so that he could go to a cross and solve the world problem of sin. The world has seen the living and true God. Jesus Christ is the living and true God. The world is totally without excuse. He came, he went to a cross, he solved the world problem of sin, so that whosoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. Jesus is the Messiah. The word Messiah is the same as the Greek word Christ. He is the anointed one, anointed by God the Father, to be the Savior of the world, the Redeemer, the one who would solve mankind's problem of sin and make eternal salvation available to anyone, any place, anywhere. The world is without excuse. They have seen the living and true God in, first of all, that greatest of miracles, the incarnation of the Son of God. And the second is the miracle of Easter, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. It is the greatest semeion. We're going to see that word in again and again and again this morning. Semeion. Miraculous sign. And Jesus Christ said, "My resurrection will be the greatest miraculous sign that I am who I claim to be. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. And I am the only Savior. There's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved." Easter is the greatest miraculous sign that proves to the world that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. The world is without excuse. God has revealed himself in these two amazing miracles. In Romans 1, I had you start there, Romans 1, 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul gives us one of the most powerful passages on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 1, verse 3, concerning his Son, that is the Son of the Father, the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. That's his divine royalty. Who was born a descendant of David with respect to the flesh. On that very first Christmas, he took on true humanity. He was the descendant of David. He was Jewish royalty as the Son of David. And then Paul says, who was powerfully declared to be the Son of God. How? How was he powerfully declared to be the Son of God? By his resurrection from the dead. Through the Spirit of holiness, is God the Holy Spirit, the agent of the resurrection of Christ. That is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Easter is a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the celebration of the miraculous victory of Jesus Christ over physical death and the grave. The good news that Jesus Christ physically rose from the dead powerfully rocked the first century world. The Word of God declares that Jesus Christ literally and bodily rose from the grave. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is an announcement to the whole world that He is the Messiah. He is the Anointed One from God the Father. He is the Son of God. He is the only Savior. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is an announcement to the whole world that Jesus Christ won the strategic victory on the cross. He solved mankind's problem of sin by His salvation work on the cross. The resurrection was not merely an ethereal or spiritual event. Jesus Christ rose physically and bodily from the dead. And the facts are available for the whole world to see. Thank God for Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, Romans 1:4, Jesus Christ, who was powerfully declared to be the Son of God. How? By His resurrection from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is God the Father's announcement to the world that His Anointed One, the Messiah, Jesus, accomplished what He came to do. He won the strategic victory of the angelic conflict by His salvation work on the cross. He solved mankind's problem of sin once and for all. He makes available the gift of eternal life to anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Him. When the Lord Jesus began His ministry at His first coming, all that He thought and taught and did was contrary to the teaching of the religious leaders of His day. Throughout His public ministry, the scribes and Pharisees, the Sadducees, kept demanding, "Give us a sign." They wanted Jesus to do something miraculous, something supernatural, something tangible and visible, something that would prove once and for all that He is who He claimed to be, that He is the Messiah, that He is the Son of God. They wanted something that would substantiate what they considered revolutionary teaching and a revolutionary lifestyle. John chapter 2, verse 18, then the Jews demanded of Him, "What miraculous sign can You show us to prove Your authority to do all of these things?" John 6:30, so they asked Him, Christ, "What miraculous sign then will You give that we may see it and believe You? What will You do?" Matthew 12:38, then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to Him, "Teacher," and they only saw Jesus Christ as a teacher, a didaskalos. They never saw Him as Messiah. They never saw Him as the Son of God. They rejected Him. They did not believe in Jesus Christ. They did not believe He was the Messiah. They did not believe He was the Son of God. He was merely a teacher in their eyes. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to Him, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from You." Matthew 16:1, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. Now, that word, and it's translated, I'm very happy to see it actually translated miraculous sign in your scriptures. It's semeion. S-long-E-M-E-I-O-N. Semeion. And semeion is the Koine Greek word that means a miracle. It means that which is supernatural. It means that which is contrary to the usual course of nature. Semeion describes the miracles performed by the Lord Jesus Christ in his hypostatic union to prove that he is the Messiah, to prove that he is the Son of God. He did semeion after semeion after semeion after semeion, demonstrating that he is who he claimed to be. He is indeed the Messiah. He is the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ performed many miraculous signs demonstrating that he indeed is the Messiah, the Son of God. And let's take a look at some of those miraculous signs. The first one, turn to John chapter 2. By the way, the Gospel of John is the John of the miraculous, the Gospel of the miraculous signs. Some of you, the only thing you're going to get out of this first semeion is that he turned the water into wine. But I guarantee it's a lot better than the wine that you drink. Tim drinks Annie Green Springs over here. John 2, verse 1. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing. Each one holding 20 to 30 gallons. Now there are six of them. So if they're full, you have 120 to 180 gallons of wine. This was a great wedding. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, "Now, draw some out." I mean, they filled up and immediately said, "Okay, now draw some out." They know it's water they put in there. But they draw it out and they look at it. "Oh, mama. We've never seen water like that. Now draw some out and take it to the sommelier of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted, or the sommelier tasted the water that had been drawn in, had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water, they knew. And then he called the bridegroom aside, and he said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best until now." this, the first of his semion. Here's the word, semion. Notice, the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee, and he thus revealed his glory. This miraculous sign reveals that he is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And his disciples put their faith in him. But not the religious leaders. The religious leaders of Israel, who were the so-called experts on the Old Testament, the Mosaic Law, well, they're all in torments now, and they will be in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. They did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the Son of God. That's the first semeion he did. The second one, turn over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, the second semeion, was the healing of the royal official's son. John 4, starting at verse 46. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was very close to death. He was dying. His son was dying. And then he said, Jesus Christ said, unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will not believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. He was on the verge of physical death. And Jesus replied, you may go, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. And while he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. And when he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, the fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. And then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and all his household believed. Here's a royal official and all of his household believed in Jesus Christ, that he was the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior. They believed, but the religious leaders still did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the Son of God. Notice what verse 54 says. This was the second semeion. This was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee. The third miraculous sign included many healing of the sick. Turn over to John chapter 6. The third miraculous sign was many healing of the sick. John 6 verses 1 and 2. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick, healing the sick. So that was the third healing of the sick. The fourth miraculous sign was the feeding of the 5,000. The feeding of the 5,000 was a miraculous sign. And that's in John 6, verses 3 to 14. So let's pick it up at verse 3. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside, and he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, yeah, this is a great crowd. This is 5,000 strong great crowd. He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Now, he's God. He knows exactly where the bread's going to... He knows he's going to perform a semion. He knows that. He said this to test Philip. "Where shall we buy bread for 5,000 people to eat?" He, Jesus Christ, asked this only to test Philip, for he already had in mind, in his thinking, he knew what he was going to do. He was going to perform another semion, a miraculous sign. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages. 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a little bite. What Philip was saying, are you crazy? There's no way we can feed these people. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. I have the solution. Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. There. Thank you, Andrew. But then he says, but how far will they go among so many? And Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place. And the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed it to those who were seated. As much as they wanted, as much as they wanted to eat. He did the same with the fish. When they had all 5,000 had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. They had way, way more left over than what they had to start with. After the people saw the semeion, the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Many of them believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior, but not the religious leaders. The religious leaders continued to refuse to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God. That brings us to the fifth semeion. The healing of the blind man was a semeion. John chapter 9. Turn over to John 9. John 9. We'll start at verse 1, John 9, verse 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, and this just shows you how people who are not oriented to grace think. They see somebody blind, they think, oh, what kind of a sin did he do? He's blind. See, some of you could look at me and say, what sin did Pastor Olson do that he can't walk? He must have really done something bad. Yeah. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus Christ said, neither. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. And by the way, you don't ever judge people whenever they're having difficulty or whatever. You don't know. They thought they knew. They didn't know. Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life, so that it would be demonstrated that I am the Messiah, the Son of God. That's why he was born blind. For this semeion to take place. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, put it on the man's eyes. Now, I don't suggest you do this. You're not Jesus Christ. You spit on the ground and put it on my eyes, I'll punch you. Now, my mother, bless her heart, she's in heaven. I love my mom a lot. But before we went to school, she always looked behind our ears. I don't know why. I guess dirt collects behind the ears. She looked behind the ears, and if there was dirt there, then she would take a Kleenex, spit on it, and clean behind my ears. I go, oh, great, the dirt's gone. Now I got your spit on behind my ears. Some of you, your mothers did the same thing. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he said, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. The word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Now let's go down to verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. And therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? And they believed Jesus was a sinner, not the Messiah, not the Son of God. So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes that he opened. The man replied, he's a prophet. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? If anybody ever did that with my sons, and is this your son? Hell no, it's not mine. I don't claim that one. Is this your son, they asked? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? Well, we know he's our son. That's good. We know he's our son, the parents answered, but we know he was born blind. But how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself. And his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. If you were saying Jesus is the Messiah, you would be put out of the synagogue. And that was why his parents said, he's of age, ask him. So a second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. And that's what they believed about Jesus Christ. They didn't believe he was the Son of God. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. They didn't believe he was the one who would solve mankind's problems. And they just thought he was a sinner. And he replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. And then they asked him, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered, I've told you already, and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Ooh. I like this guy. This guy has a sense of humor. Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. And the man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. There's more truth coming from this fellow than the religious leaders of Israel. And to this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. And then the man said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. This man who was born blind, he believed in Jesus Christ, that he was the Messiah, the Son of God. But the religious leaders who threw him out of the synagogue continued to believe that Jesus was a sinner. The Jews wanted to know by what right Jesus was teaching contrary to the religious leaders. They wanted to know in whose name and what credentials he was teaching contrary to the scribes and the Pharisees. They wanted to know through what power he was teaching contrary to the religious leaders. And after all of these miraculous signs that Jesus Christ performed, they still refused to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They refused to believe that he was the Messiah, the Son of God. Instead, they continued to ask for more signs and greater signs. And the continuing demand for a sign by the religious leaders of Christ's day was the epitome of arrogance and hypocrisy. They implied that all of the other miracles that Jesus performed were not miracles at all. Their continued asking for a sign indicated that they were not impressed by the miracles that Jesus Christ had performed, nor were they positive to his teaching, nor did they believe in him as their Savior. They said no to Jesus Christ. They said no to the gospel. They believed he was a sinner, not a Savior. Romans 2:5 says the religious leaders had a scar-tissued and unrepentant hearts. Every time they said no to Jesus Christ, build up more scar tissue on their heart. They say no to Jesus Christ, build up more scar tissue. Miracle after miracle after miracle Jesus Christ performed, they build up more scar tissue. They had scar-tissued and unrepentant hearts, Romans 2:5. At this point of their reversionism and degeneracy, the Lord Jesus Christ says, that's it. He declared, there will only be one more sign. I will only give you one more sign. And that sign is the sign of Jonah. Turn over to Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verse 38. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, Teacher, again they call him Didaskalos, not Messiah, not the Son of God. Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you, Simeon. And he answered, A reversionistic and adulterous generation keeps on asking for a miraculous sign, but none will be given to it except one, the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. This is also taught in Matthew 16. Turn over to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verses 1 through 4. Matthew 16, verse 1. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. And he replied, When evening comes, you say, It will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A reversionistic and adulterous generation keeps on asking for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. 1. Jesus Christ declared that a reversionistic and adulterous generation keeps asking for a sign. And of course, He was speaking to His own people, the so-called experts, religious experts, thought they knew everything about the Old Testament, the Mosaic Law. They thought they were great believers, and they're not even believers at all. You know, they're all going to see Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment. They'll all be there. They'll see Jesus Christ. They'll know He is the Son of God and the Messiah. And they will be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. So Jesus Christ declared that a reversionistic and adulterous generation keeps on asking for a sign, talking about His own people at the first advent. 2. Jesus Christ declared that no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah. Three, the Lord Jesus Christ was clear, concise, and condemning. The miraculous signs are over, he said. I've done miraculous sign after miraculous sign after miraculous sign, and you accuse me of being a sinner. Those miraculous signs which demonstrate that I'm the Messiah, the Son of God, they're over. Except for the greatest miraculous sign of all, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The greatest miraculous sign of all, the greatest Simeon of all, which is a sign for the whole world is without excuse. Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. Had they responded to the grace and truth of the Word of God, they would have known by what right, in whose name, with what credentials, and through what power he was ministering. Had they responded with positive volition and faith in Jesus Christ, they would know that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God. The religious leaders had prostituted themselves by substituting religious traditions of men for the truth of God's Word. They were unfaithful to the living and true God and the absolute truth of His Word. They said no to Jesus Christ. They were unrepentant, scar-tissued and unrepentant in their hearts. They said no to the gospel. They said refused to believe in Christ as their Savior. They had committed spiritual adultery, and therefore the only sign that Jesus Christ would give was the sign of Jonah, Matthew 12:39, Matthew 16:4. Point four, Jesus Christ declared that the sign to authenticate that He is the Messiah, the Son of God, was this: following My death, on the third day, I will rise from the grave. Jesus Christ declared that the sign to authenticate that He is the Messiah, the Son of God, was this: following My death, on the third day, I will rise from the grave. Five. In other words, the Lord made His resurrection the authenticating sign to substantiate that He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. You see, that's what Paul wrote in Romans 1:4, who was powerfully declared to be the Son of God. How? By His resurrection from the dead, Romans 1:4. So the Lord made His resurrection the authenticating sign to substantiate that He is the Messiah, the Son of God. Six, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave, then His claims to be the Messiah, the Son of God, would be false, and His death in vain. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave, then His claims to be the Messiah would be false, and His death in vain. Seven, however, if He did rise from the grave, then He is whom He claimed to be. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah, promised all throughout the Old Testament Scriptures, the Redeemer, the Savior. He did solve mankind's problem of sin on the cross. He has the power to bestow eternal life to anyone, any place, anywhere, who simply believes in Him. So if He did rise from the grave, then He is whom He claimed to be, the Son of God, the Messiah, the only Savior. He did solve mankind's problem of sin on the cross, and He has the power to bestow the gift of eternal life to whoever believe in Him. All right, we'll stop there and take a break. We'll come back in a few for part two. Do you hand me my cup there, please?